When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yesterday's Concert is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network.
Grab your earplugs for another episode of Yesterday's Concert. In this special issue, we're asking your favorite artist who their favorite artist is. We go in depth about the first time they heard them. Have they seen them live? What's so special about them that they love them so much?
This is John O'Halloran, aka Chalk Dinosaur, and my favorite artist is a tie between My Morning Jacket and Ween. Well, I heard it when I was real young because my older brother had downloaded some on LimeWire or something. And there was just like a couple random songs. Fancy Pants song, Chocolate Town. Those are just on our family computer forever. But I really started to dig in college. When I'd walk to class, I would listen to White Pepper, Quebec, and then kind of just worked my way around from there. But really, like those two albums are what really drew me in. And the thing that I really liked that I had not heard a band do before was the way they changed their sound from song to song so drastically and just do a really good job with whatever kind of style they embody. My Morning Jacket, I don't remember the first time I heard them on like a recording. It was probably at my friend's house. But the first time I saw them was at Bonnaroo in 2011, and we had waited to get, you could like wait in this line to get up in the front of their, you know, the main stage was just massive. So it was just like the biggest possible stage I could see them, and their album Circuital had just come out, which is one of my favorite albums from them. So that show really was just like blew me away. And they just played like a lot of their really good songs, and the performance was so good. We were up close, and also the stage was massive, so like the sound was massive. But I mean, they always sound massive. They're just really, really good, and that was the first time I'd seen them, and it was up close. So that really, really shaped my songwriting and kind of my bar, I guess, for like a live show.
My name is Nicodemus, and I have a lot of favorite artists, but if I could just pinpoint one, I would say Stevie Wonder. Stevie, first of all, can play anything. He's a genius music writer that touches the soul of people in such a beautiful way. His lyrics, his politics, I think he's done so much positive, like a Bob Marley, like so much positive impact on people and the world. I would say Bob Marley too, because he's actually touched every part of this entire world. I've traveled a lot in the past 25 years, and there's almost no place I've ever been that did not hear of Bob Marley and be affected by his music and his lyrics and or his band and, you know, the whole Bob Marley experience. But I say Stevie Wonder because, wow, I don't know. I guess the music for me is just so much more, it was so much more dynamic, and his energy is so uplifting in so many songs, politics, everything. He's like, and he's still going, and he's still a beautiful inspiration for people and the world. But my mom always had like the radio on, or like, I don't know if it was an 8-track or a cassette back then, but she loved Stevie Wonder. And I remember I remember Stevie Wonder always be playing, but there was a song like this was like, "Isn't She Lovely?" You know, and that song always reminded me of my mom. And later I got to love like As, you know, the song As is probably one of my favorites. And just the way he builds that song, the lyrics are so deep. And then he changes his whole singing style and he gets really into the church mode. He goes, and there's, if people can't feel that, I mean, I don't know. So maybe they got to check their pulse.
My name is Clay Fanch and I'm in Mapache. And my favorite band is Grateful Dead.
There was someone sent me an internet radio station and it was like psychedelic music. Cause I got really into like Woodstock and then I got really into like 60s psychedelic music. And so there was some internet radio station and they played the new Potato Caboose. And yeah, it just like really quickly became my favorite song. I got that documentary like from Blockbuster. And, I mean, I think it's, you know, super romantic, you know, like a lot of the ideas behind it, you know, kind of like freedom and radical self-expression and, you know, peace. And, those are all things that are super attractive to me and to me at that time. I was just using iTunes, really, because my parents weren't really into the Dead, and I didn't really have any like friends or like siblings or anything that were big Deadheads. So I was just basically using iTunes, and I would just start. I just started at the beginning, and I bought the first album, and then you know I'd save up a little money and go to Vons and get an iTunes gift card, and then I bought the next one. It's kind of a funny way, but it's just our generation, I guess, how we digested music. But yeah, I just went chronologically through the albums. I mean, I'm still a big fan, and I think it's such an interesting band because there's so much material to listen to that's so different. So yeah, I definitely began to enjoy all the different versions of all the songs and how they changed and all of that.
Sam Blasucci, Mapache, Ronnie Wood. And I think just all around musician/musical presence or personality, I'd go with Ronnie Wood is my favorite artist. Most influential, maybe. I think the first time I ever heard him was probably when, you know, on a Stones record when I was very young. So I don't remember when that would have been, you know, but I think the first time I'm trying to remember, you know what? Pedram Sedation from the Alalas, he gave me the first solo Ronnie Wood record and let me borrow it. And that was the first time I think I had listened to his solo records and then like got really into him as an artist individually. So I don't remember when that was, but I think I'd probably have to credit Pedram as the one who turned me on to that. I mean, Stones are a pretty good band. They might be up there. But I'm a huge Faces fan as well. And I love his very first band too, which is called The Birds, but spelled with an I. Not like the other birds, obviously. I don't know. It's hard to pick. His solo stuff is really good. I'm also a big Bobby Womack fan, and he produced the first three solo Ronnie Wood records. And all the musicians that play on those are really great. George Harrison's on them, and Heath and Rod Stewart and Mick Jagger are on them. And my favorite bass player, Willie Weeks, is on them. And one of my favorite drummers, Andy Newmark, is, I think, on both of the first two. So I just really love every aspect of those records, like who's on them and how they're produced, and the songs are so good. I don't even know that I would want to pinpoint it, honestly. I think I just, something about it just sort of resonates, you know. That's why there are so many musicians, I feel like, is because we're all doing the same kind of thing, you know. Most of the things musically have been put out there. You know, it's just that everyone carries these different energies and new vibes that different people can resonate with kind of randomly. And so that's why we always need more musicians, you know. And I think he's just one of those that couldn't tell you why, but I think it just, you know, it resonates with me.
Hi, I'm Ray Zaragoza, and my favorite artist right now is Ace and Abby. Ace and Abby is literally one of the most original artists I've ever heard in my life. He's an incredible storyteller. He's an incredible vocalist and songwriter and presence, and he's truly original. And when I first heard him play, I felt like, wow, I've never heard anything like this before. And yeah, he's going places. I think I find it so original and unique because it is genre bending. I think that there is an aspect of it that is kind of folksy, but it's also very pop. But there's also something about it that's like kind of Hozier, like, I don't know, like rock. And but it I can't even put it in a genre. So that's why I know it's so good, because I can't label it. I can't like really touch on what it is. And just the vocal performance that he does is so emotional. And so it just, I can't listen to one of his songs without really feeling it in my soul, like feeling it in my gut and like wanting to cry. And I don't even need to know the lyrics. And I think for me, as someone who always is someone who's dissecting lyrics, and I love dissecting his lyrics, they're amazing lyrics, but I could listen to him sing and not even know what the lyrics were because the melodies are so emotionally provoking. So yeah, he's so good. He's also an Indigenous artist. He's Canadian Indigenous, and he made a playlist. Spotify in Canada made a playlist with him for Indigenous artists, and he added me, and I hadn't heard of him. And then I checked him out on Spotify and first listened to his song. I think it was called Ego Death. And I listened to the song and I was just like, what is going on? Well, I think Ego Death is probably my favorite, but also his new song, Somebody Else, is so good. And Nomads, War Cry, there's so many good ones. So many good ones. I have seen him live. I saw him live at his first show in Los Angeles at the Hotel Cafe. And it was so good. Oh, well, you know, he's an amazing storyteller. And he was telling a story about a near-death experience he had. And about how he was, you know, he was working up in northern Canada and he was almost like, I don't know, he missed the car back to go and he almost fell into the water. And it was just a whole near-death experience. And I was just like jaw dropped. And then he sang a song about that experience and I could feel the experience with him in the song. And it was just outrageous. And it was, yeah, very, very emotional.
Hi, my name is Olin, and my favorite artist is Bon Iver. I've been going on walks, and a lot of people have uploaded full live versions of his concerts. It's impossible for me not to feel something when I listen to a song, and specifically in these live performances, there is something so magical about the arrangement and the way he sings and what he's singing. I don't even necessarily understand some of the times what he's saying, but there's something to the way that he says it that I believe it. I believe it 100%. I'm pretty sure the first song I heard by him was Skinny Love, which, you know, that's obviously one of his biggest songs. I don't remember the very first time. I'm pretty sure it was just like a YouTube video eight years ago or something, but I don't remember specifically when the first time I heard him was. I think that I was like a casual listener for a while. And then I only really recently started digging into his discography and like appreciating it. I think especially too, as I've like tried to learn more about production and other things too. So I'd say that it was like the gateway into me being a full-fledged fan.
Hey, I'm Jerry from Wax Owls. My favorite artist is Bon Iver. I think that every album is something new and something exciting. I'm a sucker for harmonies, which Bon Iver brings in droves, and they're gorgeous. I'm also a sucker for lush soundscapes, which they do in droves. But I think my favorite thing about them is the combination of kind of folk songwriting with very forward-thinking elements added to it, like modern production, interesting soundscapes or noises that could be brought into a song that might have had its genesis as like someone playing their acoustic guitar and just singing. And I think that combination of like an awareness of like the canon of songwriting history through folk, and also like not being too beholden or overly nostalgic for past things and having a progressive approach to presenting the songs, I think is just such a cool marriage. So that's why I like Bon Iver. Twice, once in Chicago and once in LA at the Forum. Both were good, but LA at the Forum was one of like the standout live shows I've ever seen. Normally, the Chicago show is outdoors, and I love outdoor shows. I don't think their music actually fully translates for that. And I think having that like indoor space where there's a lot of reverberations that were actually going on in the room, as well as like more of an opportunity to have like the lights reflect this sonic space, just ended up being like more immersive and like fulsome and lush. And so that's what I loved about it. Blood Bank, which is normally kind of, there's a song called Blood Bank, which is the original version is like an acoustic guitar, pretty minimalist version. And they did this like electrified, heavy, dark ambient version, and it was just so cool. I'd never heard it, but I'd heard the song so many other times. The reimagination of it, I thought, brought the emotional weight of the lyrics out really well. And that's, I think that's the highest thing you can do with orchestrating, is like have the sounds that are supporting the lyrics and melody convey or amplify the emotion that the lyrics and melody are conveying. No, there is no music that you're supposed to like. There does not exist a song you're supposed to like. I that's a hill I'll die on. Like when people get offended if someone's like, yeah, I don't like the, I do like the Beatles. But if someone were like, I don't like the Beatles, someone's like, how could you not like this? Like, I don't know. It's music and it's up to me. You don't have to like anything. And I'm all in favor of that.
Hi, I'm Chris from Wax Owls. And my favorite artist is Thrice. They are one of the few bands that I've been able to stick with through most of their discography. And every record is something new. They're constantly reinventing their sound. I love their harmonies. I like how they mix organic and electronic components to their music, and that they're pushing themselves and their creative process pretty much constantly. You know, they started out as like a punk emo band, and the band that releases Artist in the Ambulance and then releases the Alchemy Index, that's not the same band. And I think that's a really cool, and to have a sustained fan base and a fan base that follows them through all those different twists and turns, I think is a pretty special thing. First time I heard them was actually at a concert. I didn't know who they were, and they were playing a festival tour that they were doing in, I want to say 2004 or 5. Deftones were on it. Atreyu was on it. As I Lay Dying. And I was actually going to the show to see a band called Dredge. But apparently they were only playing the West Coast dates of this traveling festival, right? It was like Bamboozle, but they had a bunch of West Coast dates and then a bunch of East Coast dates. And Dredge was only doing the West Coast dates. And I didn't know that. So them and Thrice basically just flipped. They were doing West Coast, Thrice was doing the East Coast. Thrice came on and I was just transfixed for their whole set. They were easily the best band of the night. They blew the Deftones out of the water. They blew Atreyu out. You know, you name a band that was on that bill, and they were far and away the best band. It was when the V Hissu record came out. So the record after Artist in the Ambulance. So I actually was kind of late-ish to the party. And I listened to that record, and that record did not leave my car. You know, I was back when we had CDs in the car, and that CD didn't leave the car until basically I wore it through. And then I went back, I listened to their whole discography. And when I go to concerts, I'm kind of, I don't lose myself in it as much as maybe like a fan does. And I don't mean this in any sort of disparaging or arrogant way, but like I go to a show and I'm watching the performance, I'm listening to it, I'm doing it as a musician. Thrice is one of the few bands, if not one of the only bands, where I'm a fan. I'm in there, I'm singing the lyrics, I'm not paying attention to what every little intricate guitar thing is happening at this moment, or like you know, like I saw Brand New and I'm like, oh, they're playing that song a lot faster, or the drummer dropped his stick, and, you know, or this, that, and the other thing. I whatever it is about them and their music, it just connects with me in a way where I can allow myself to be a fan. And I think that's really cool. At least five, probably closer to 7 or 8. But they were the last show I saw before the pandemic hit. They were doing Vihissu from start to finish. It was like the 15th anniversary of that record. And that was, I saw that concert and then the pandemic happened like 2 weeks later or something. that was easily, because that's my favorite record. So getting to hear that album from start to finish and then playing songs that they don't normally play live was probably, yeah. And it was a smaller venue. It was pretty intimate. I think it was only like a 700 cap room. So, and I was right up at the front. Yeah. So that's probably the best one, the best show that I've seen of theirs.
I'm Lance Ingram, and this is Yesterday's Concert. Thanks for listening to another episode of my show. For more live music podcasting, check out our other show, Jam Journals. If you're feeling kind, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and check us out on all the social media platforms. Email us at info@yesterdaysconcert.com or visit our website, yesterdaysconcert.com. So until next time, give us a subscribe, tell your friends, and most importantly, take care of your shoes.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.